Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
I saw in the park today looked like a city under siege, under armed occupation. And I have to tell you, spending many years traveling into conflict areas, you know, it's the way a city looks before a coup.
From immigration agents swarming MacArthur Park in L.A., to a Chicago museum ahead of the Barrio Arts Festival. We'll look at how communities are dealing with the immigration crackdown. Then, as President Trump threatens 50% tariffs on Brazilian products unless a corruption case against former Brazilian President Bolsonaro is dropped, we'll speak with Brazilian director Petra Costa, her new film, Apocalypse in the Tropics.
I want to be a pastor of a generation that will change history.
In the last 40 years, evangelicals have grown from 5 to more than 30% of Brazil's population. A rapid religious shift molded into an unprecedented political force.
And finally, the U.S. sanctions Francesca Albanese, the U.N. Special Rapporteur on Human Rights in the Palestinian Territories.
If the genocide has not stopped, it's not just because there has always been an economy of the occupation. It's because the economy of the occupation has turned into an economy of genocide. And so there have been people and organizations that have profited from the violence, the killing, the maiming, the destruction in Gaza.
We'll speak with Francesca Albanese about the U.S. sanctions and her new report, From Economy of Occupation to Economy of Genocide. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Israel's unrelenting slaughter in Gaza has killed at least 55 Palestinians so far today, including children. This comes as Gaza's doctors are warning of even more imminent deaths as hospitals run out of fuel due to Israel's blockade. This is Dr. Mohammed Abu-Samia, director of Al-Shifa Hospital.
We have 13 patients in intensive care, most of them on ventilators, and we have around 100 premature babies in Gaza City hospitals whose lives are in serious risk. Oxygen stations will stop working. A hospital without oxygen is no longer a hospital. The lab and blood banks will shut down. The blood units in the refrigerators will spoil. The hospital will cease to be a place of healing and will become a graveyard for those inside.
Meanwhile, the Palestinian Education Ministry reports at least 18,243 students and school staff have been killed and more than 31,000 others wounded in Gaza and the occupied West Bank since October 2023. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu left Washington, D.C. after 2 days of meetings with President Trump and congressional leaders. Netanyahu's departure came without any announcement of a Gaza ceasefire deal. President Trump said after the talks, there's a very good chance Israel and Hamas will agree to a deal on a 60-day truce in the next 2 weeks. But Hamas officials say several obstacles remain, including guarantees of a lasting ceasefire, a complete withdrawal of Israeli forces, and the free flow of humanitarian aid into Gaza. Meanwhile, the Trump administration's imposed sanctions on U.N. Special Rapporteur Francesca Albanese over her report naming dozens of companies she found have been profiting from Israel's occupation in Gaza. Amnesty International blasted these sanctions against Albanese as a, quote, shameless and transparent attack on the fundamental principles of international justice, unquote. Francesca Albanese will join us herself later in the broadcast. Israel says it intercepted a missile strike by Yemen's Houthi group targeting Ben-Gurion Airport earlier today. This comes as Houthi fighters escalate their attacks on Israel over its war on Gaza. A Houthi strike on a Red Sea commercial vessel Tuesday is now believed to have killed four people, with 11 people missing. Six of those are believed to be in Houthi hands. A new ship from the Freedom Flotilla Coalition is planning to set sail from Italy Sunday in hopes of breaking the Gaza siege. Chris Smalls, founder of Amazon's first U.S. labor union, has announced he'll join the journey aboard an aid ship named the Handala. Meanwhile, a Spanish passenger who traveled on the Madeleine last month has filed a war crimes complaint against Israel over its violent raid on June 8th of the Gaza-bound aid ship while in international waters. President Trump said Wednesday the U.S. will impose a 50% tariff on copper imports beginning August 1st, as he threatened a new wave of tariffs on seven more countries. These include tariffs of 20% on the Philippines, 30% for Libya and Iraq, unless they can make a deal with his White House before the end of the month. With the latest threats, Trump has given 22 countries until the end of July to make a deal. Trump slapped the steepest levy on Brazil, partly in retribution for what Trump called a witch hunt against former President Jair Bolsonaro, who's currently facing trial for attempting a coup after losing the election to President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva in 2022. In response, Lula rejected any, quote, interference or threats, unquote, by the U.S. Only two countries so far, Vietnam and the U.K., have struck trade deals with Trump ahead of his August 1st deadline. The EU this week said it hopes to agree on a deal in the coming days. We'll speak with Brazilian film director Petra Costa about the 50% tariffs that are being threatened against Brazil unless they drop the corruption case against Bolsonaro. Separately, on Wednesday, President Trump met with leaders of five African nations he said were likely to be spared by tariffs: Gabon, Guinea-Bissau, Liberia, Mauritania, and Senegal. During a working lunch, Trump praised Liberian President Joseph Boakai for speaking, quote, such good English.
Where did you learn to speak so beautifully? Where were you educated? Where? In Liberia.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's very interesting. It's beautiful English.
English is the official language of Liberia. The Liberian president didn't return the compliment. Russia launched a barrage of hundreds of drones and missiles at Ukraine's capital overnight, killing at least two people and wounding 16 others. The attacks sparked fires across Kyiv with damage to residences, vehicles and warehouses. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky called the bombardment a clear escalation of terror by Moscow. Meanwhile, CNN's revealed Donald Trump told a private gathering of wealthy donors last year that he once sought to deter Russian President Vladimir Putin from attacking Ukraine by threatening to, quote, bomb the blank out of Moscow, unquote, though Trump used an expletive. The revelation came in audio tapes recorded at fundraisers in New York and Florida.
Putin, I said, if you go in to Ukraine, they'll bomb the shit out of Moscow. I'm telling you, I have no choice.
Trump claimed he made a similar threat against Chinese President Xi Jinping over a potential invasion of Taiwan, saying the U.S. is prepared to bomb Beijing. In immigration news, the Bishop of San Bernardino in Southern California has told his diocese of 1 million Roman Catholic parishioners that they can skip Mass on Sundays over fears of federal immigration raids. In Arizona, immigration courts have begun distributing flyers warning immigrants to self-deport. The documents are written in English and Spanish and produced by the Justice Department. They appear to target immigrants without lawyers and have even been presented to people who've won their immigration cases. Meanwhile, advocates are demanding the release of a Phoenix musician and artist with cancer who's been jailed by ICE for 5 months, even though she's a permanent lawful resident who's lived in the U.S. for over a quarter of a century. Arbella Yari Rodriguez Marquez has languished at the Eloy Detention Center since February, when she was detained by immigration authorities on her way back from Mexico and stripped of her residency by an immigration judge. Her partner says Yari has lost 55 pounds due to inadequate medical care. She said, quote, I am worried that if she's not released, Yari will be the next death in Eloy Detention Center, unquote. Meanwhile, community leaders and officials in Chicago have condemned the presence of federal immigration agents at the city's National Museum of Puerto Rican Arts and Culture Tuesday. The museum is scheduled to host an arts festival over the weekend amidst mounting fears ICE could target the event as well as other upcoming cultural events celebrating Chicago's Latinx communities. We'll have more on this story after headlines. The U.S. Supreme Court has refused to allow Florida to enforce a state law making it a crime for undocumented immigrants to enter or remain in Florida. Wednesday's brief unsigned order leaves in place a U.S. district judge's ruling blocking Florida from allowing local police officers to arrest people based on their immigration status. The American Civil Liberties Union welcomed the Supreme Court's order, writing, quote, this ruling affirms what the Constitution demands, that immigration enforcement is a federal matter and that no one should be stripped of their liberty without due process, unquote. Another searing heat wave is gripping Europe, the third so far this season. On Tuesday, Greek authorities closed the Acropolis to visitors and barred outdoor work as temperatures soared. Firefighters have been battling wildfires in Greece, Spain, and France, as well as in Turkey and Syria and the southern French city of Marseille. Fires injured at least 100 people and temporarily forced the international airport to shut down. This is a Marseille resident whose home was damaged.
We only have one planet. France behaves as if we have two and a half, even though we only have one. So we have to change our way of living. We have to change our mindset. We have to learn wisdom because we are currently scheduling our end. And there is everything else that we do not see here. The squirrels, all the animals that I saw every day, which are dead and which will take decades to come back if they come back at all. This is also an ecocide.
A report this week found some 2,300 people died of heat-related causes across 12 European cities during the last heat wave that started at the end of June. Scientists attributed 1,500 of those deaths directly to the climate crisis. And people and authorities are continuing to look for more people, though no survivor in the Texas flash floods has been found since last Friday. That's in other climate-related news. In Kenya, the death toll from a major anti-government protest on Monday has risen to at least 31 people. More than 100 others were injured and over 530 arrested amidst the police crackdown. Monday's rally marked the 35th anniversary of a pro-democracy uprising and came as part of ongoing demonstrations over police brutality and corruption, with protesters demanding President William Ruto step down. President Ruto Wednesday said police are free to shoot protesters in the legs. And Abdullah Öcalan, the jailed leader of the Kurdistan Workers' Party, or PKK, has announced an end to the group's armed struggle against Turkey and a full transition to democratic politics. Öcalan's message came in a previously recorded video, which was released Wednesday.
The PKK movement and its national liberation strategy, which emerged as a reaction to the denial of the existence of the Kurds and thus aimed at setting up a separate state, has been dissolved. The existence of the Kurds has been recognized, therefore the basic aim has been achieved. What has been done is a voluntary transition from the phase of armed struggle to the phase of democratic politics and law. This is not a loss, but it has to be regarded as a historical gain.
This follows Abdullah Öcalan's historic call in February for the PKK to disarm. The PKK was founded in 1978 and launched an insurgency against Turkey in 1984, but later renounced its separatist goals. The 40-year conflict is estimated to have killed more than 40,000 people. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.
And I'm Nermeen Sheikh. Welcome to our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world. From immigration agents swarming MacArthur Park in Los Angeles to a Chicago museum ahead of a cultural festival, we'll begin today looking at how communities are dealing with the immigration crackdown. On Monday, at least 90 heavily armed federal immigration agents, some on horseback, staged a dramatic sweep on a Los Angeles public park, inflaming tensions in a city already on edge from the Trump administration's mass raids. Mayor Karen Bass arrived on the scene where she told agents to leave MacArthur Park, a popular public space in a largely immigrant and working class neighborhood where many children were playing. Activists and community members, some who'd been tipped off about the sweep, were seen repelling the agents, yelling insults at the armed and masked men, some hurling fruit towards them. Mayor Bass later condemned the incident.
While I was on the way, though, I got alerted that there was a ICE operation, military intervention, who knows, at MacArthur Park. I turned around, we went to the park. I could see a helicopter in the air, I think it was a Black Hawk helicopter, and I saw military tanks. It was the Custom and Border Patrol, and it might have been military on the periphery. To me, this is another example of the administration ratcheting up chaos by deploying what looked like a military operation in an American city. So what I saw in the park today looked like a city under siege, under armed occupation. And I have to tell you, spending many years traveling into conflict areas, you know, it's the way a city looks before a coup.
This comes as the Department of Homeland Security says ICE and Border Patrol agents have detained nearly 3,000 people in Los Angeles since June 6. For more, we're joined by Vladimir Cardasco. He is director of climate justice at the Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights, known as CHURLA. He was one of the first responders who went to the park and has been at other ICE raids. In a moment, Vlad, we're going to go to Chicago to find out what happened in the last few days. But we want to start with these immigration agents on horseback. You were one of the first in the park. Explain what took place.
Yeah, I would also like to provide a little bit of context that this is not only 33 days into the siege in L.A. by federal enforcement. It was also the exact six-month anniversary of the recent wildfires that impacted the same city. The Eaton Fire claimed 19 lives, and out of those 19, 90% were Black families, and still to this day, they're struggling to recover. And instead of federal aid and assistance, you know, what we're getting is now the terrorization of this federal, of these federal agents. So, yeah, I live nearby MacArthur Park, and I heard I first felt the vibration, and then I heard this deep rumbling, and that was a heavy military helicopter circling Koreatown, Little Bangladesh, MacArthur Park area. This is a mostly immigrant working class community. So it was clearly evidently from just my first arrival in the park that this is a highly orchestrated distraction, a display. There was no real investigation or arrest or operations. When I arrived, the National Guard, the National Guardsmen and officers looked kind of dejected and unclear of like what they were really doing there. And the CBP officers, the federal enforcement officers, were already agitated. They were coming in right with this vicious energy against the community. At one point, one officer had even had to be pulled back by their vest, and this person was carrying a machine gun. And I'm like, if this person with the gun, federally trained officer with a gun, is already coming into the community agitated, I can't imagine the horrors that are going to be coming forward if this continues, right? This park is a community park, a hub of vendors. There were children in the park right before this enforcement happened. So really, it was just bizarre to see, as just being in my community that is a normal, what should be a normal day, buzzing with people, was a desolate park filled with military officers. And yeah, similarly how it has been described, it felt like an occupation of L.A., and this isn't just about immigrants. The heat map that CHURLA has put out of immigration enforcement within June has shown that the highest concentration of enforcement has been in Black and brown communities. So this is destabilizing not only immigrant communities, this is destabilizing Black communities, destabilizing our city's economy. And now with this purported idea of safety, now we are really less secure because the only gang roaming around LA kidnapping people is the federal agents. And out of the, my God, nearly 3,000 people kidnapped by ICE, we are barely in touch with 400. We're being able to track 400 given that families are reaching out, hitting up the rapid response line. But it's really because of community outreach that we've been able to identify those folks. Federal enforcement agents are making it extremely difficult for even attorneys or family members to access folks that have been detained. Folks that are detained, family members are reaching out to us because they're missing. So we don't even know if they're in the system. And then when we do make the effort to look for them, that's how we've been able to find them. And out of the 400 we're tracking, we're in touch. We've been able to get in touch with a fraction of that. So this is really a detrimental move on American values and our rights.
Let's go now,
the rights of all people.
Vlad, let's go to Chicago, where staff members of the National Museum of Puerto Rican Arts and Culture confronted federal agents Tuesday. Museum officials say Homeland Security vehicles and federal agents, mostly in plain clothes, came to the museum Tuesday around 4 p.m. and refused their request to show them a warrant or any identification. Footage from museum surveillance cameras shows two agents entered the museum and asked to use the bathroom before they walked around the museum. This all comes before the museum is set to host the Barrio Arts Fest this weekend. Amid mounting fears, ICE could target the event, as well as other upcoming cultural events celebrating Chicago's Latinx communities. After the agents left, museum officials joined lawmakers at an emergency press conference. This is Illinois Congressmember Delia Ramirez.
And I want to make sure that it is clear. Whether it's Barrio Fest, Colombian Fest, Mexican Independence Day Parade, yes. Bandera, when we have our festival at the beginning during Labor Day, the people here will continue to stand in solidarity. And here's what we're also going to do. We're going to make sure that the city and the state level, you're going to legislate when we can't legislate in the same way on the federal level. And then we're going to also make sure that our Attorney General has the support and others as we're doing legal action and elevating it, because what this administration is doing is violating the Constitution.
So the Department of Homeland Security responded in a statement to Congressmember Ramirez, who we just heard, and museum officials, writing, quote, false. The Department of Homeland Security did not target the National Museum of Puerto Rican Arts and Culture. On July 8th, HSI, Chicago's Financial Crimes Task Force, FCTF, staged and held a quick briefing in the museum's parking lot in advance of an enforcement action related to a narcotics investigation, DHS wrote. Congresswoman Ramirez then responded to DHS in a statement saying, quote, once again, agents of DHS, and let's be clear that HSI agents work within ICE and are agents of DHS, should identify themselves like every law enforcement official is required to do. And in case DHS Secretary Kristi Noem and DHS's spokesperson forgot, the Office of Homeland Security Investigations, HSI, is under ICE, according to their own website, Homeland Security Investigations ICE, Ramirez said. For more, we're joined in Chicago by Veronica Ocasio, Director of Education and Programming at the National Museum of Puerto Rican Arts and Culture. Welcome to Democracy Now! Let me remind everyone that Puerto Ricans are U.S. citizens. If you can talk about what this means, what happened on Tuesday to your museum.
Yes, let me first start by thanking you for having me on the show. And I also want to stand in solidarity with Los Angeles and denounce all of ICE's efforts there. We stand strongly with our brothers and sisters in L.A. What happened yesterday was ICE came into our parking lot, swarmed our parking lot, And to correct the record, it was from 3 o'clock. It started at 3 o'clock until approximately 5 o'clock. And it was little by little, they started trickling in until they overtook the parking lot. At that point, our staff went out because we were still open and operating with visitors in the building and asked to identify themselves. Few officers walked away and one said, Homeland Security. That was it. And she asked for their purpose of being there and overtaking our parking lot without speaking with us or granting them permission as we are private property. They said they had the right to be there because they were the law. And at that point, she got scared and was intimidated by their aggressive tone. She immediately went inside, informed the rest of the staff where they stood on standby to see what was about to happen, if anything. They were not sure because, again, they didn't present a warrant. They didn't present any identification. And I just want to say their statement false. We say facts. We have facts. We know that they were there to intimidate us because that's what actually happened. They intimidated our staff and community. But where they got it wrong is they obviously are underestimating the power of the Latino and the Puerto Rican community. We come together unified when people try to bully and intimidate us. And that's what happened when they walked in to use the restroom. Again, our staff was compliant because they were not sure if they had the authority to deny them entry since they said they were Homeland Security officers. And as they walked in, they looked at the facility and then used the restroom and left. Then they proceeded to tell our staff that they were going to stay on our parking lot past our closing hours. We have a gate that we locked to secure our building. And our staff told them, sorry, you cannot. You have to leave. Second time, they're asked to leave. And they refused to leave. And at that point, one of our staff members told them, if you choose to stay, your cars will be locked in and you could pick them up tomorrow because we are closing the gate. At that point, that is when they left.
Are you concerned that people will not come out to the Barrio Arts Festival, concerned that they could be arrested if you had these immigration agents, whether HSI, whether ICE, et cetera, asking for the exits and the entrances to be able to inspect them so that they could make arrests of undocumented people?
Yes, of course, that's always a concern. However, we are prepared. We have been proactive since this incident. We will have attorneys on site, immigration attorneys, immigration advocates. We will also amplify and have more security than we expected to have. And we want to encourage people to come because we cannot let this administration's fear tactics drive our day-to-day. And this festival is meant to support all our local artists and all our small businesses, the backbone of our community. And again, they're trying to ensure that people don't come, that people have fear and are living in the shadows. And we're not going to allow that. We're asking people, please come up, show up. You're going to be safe. We are going to ensure your safety. We have protocols. We have an emergency preparedness plan in place. We are ready to receive you, and we're ready to celebrate the great contributions of our artisans and our artists to our community.
Veronica Ocasio, we want to thank you so much for being with us from the National Museum of Puerto Rican Arts and Culture, speaking to us from Chicago, and Vladimir Carrasco, Director of Climate Justice at the Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights, L.A., known as CHIRLA, speaking to us from Los Angeles. Next up, Trump threatens 50% tariffs on Brazilian products unless a corruption case against the former Brazilian President Bolsonaro is dropped. We'll speak with Brazilian director Petra Costa, her new film, Apocalypse in the Tropics. Stay with us. Soy el terreno invadido. Naturaleza robada. Soy pensamiento indebido. Grito de voz silenciada. Soy el dolor. Contra Todo, Against Everything, by the Puerto Rican singer and songwriter Ile, performing in our Democracy Now! Studio. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Mimi Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh.
President Trump issued a new wave of tariff threats on Wednesday. 22 countries now have until August 1st to make a deal or face levies of at least 20%. The steepest tariff threat is against Brazil at 50%, partly as retribution for what Trump calls the witch hunt against former President Jair Bolsonaro. Bolsonaro is currently facing trial in Brazil for his alleged participation in a coup attempt following his electoral defeat in 2022 to Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva.